Hey everyone, love the Wonder Women? Can't get enough of us? Want 24/7 content all day long? Well, we can't promise you that. But you can still follow the Wonder Women on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook using our handle at Wonder Women Cast for more fun tidbits, insights to our weird wonders, and information to satisfy your curious minds.
And hey, if you like the show, do us a favor.
Step one, download our episodes.
Step two,
listen and review.
Step three,
share with your friends, family, coworkers, neighbors, strangers, enemies, everyone. Just not any chance. But seriously, we crave your validation.
We sure do. Plus, it's the best way to stay on top of fresh new Wonder Woman content. So follow, share, and talk to us at Wonder Woman Cast. We'd love to hear from you.
Thanks, and keep wondering.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to Big Ass Planet with TJ Attenborough. Our Big Earth is a spectacular marvel on land and in the sea. Life as we know it is shaped by the size of this great planet. The coast is one of the richest, most incredible ecosystems on Earth. It is here that the lush sentience of ocean life meets the arid, hostile environment of Earth's hellish surface. This vast ocean is actually composed of billions of sentient puddle people, each working together in harmony. This incredible biome has everything the puddle people need to survive, but the mystery of the surface is an allure that proves too strong to resist for many young puddlets. Here we see an ambitious puddle who ventured too far away from the embrace of the ocean and is nearing the end of his life as he evaporates in the hot sun. While it may be a sad sight for our viewers, it is the circle of life. Nature will always do its duty. The plants nearby offer no shade for the puddlet in this hot sun, made even hotter by the dense atmosphere and lack of magnetic field. This broadleaf plant grows flat and wide along the ground, avoiding the heat of the day as best it can, while maximizing photosynthesis, which gives it its large, muscular appearance. High-velocity winds whip across the landscape at dawn and dusk, but the broadleaf uses its muscles to dig into the earth and grip onto whatever it can. As the last drops of the young puddle disappear into the hot air, night at last begins to fall. Not every plant and puddle will survive the coming brutal high-speed winds and subsequent chilling 384-hour night, but the cycle of this big earth continues, and so does the inexorable and inevitable path of evolution.
Dramatic musical intro. Is a weird place.
But what if it was even weirder?
Join us, the Wonder Women, as we explore the serious answers to your wackiest questions. Questions like, what if the ocean wasn't salty? What if clouds were ice cubes? And what if farts were a harvestable energy source? Each week, we'll wonder what if, and in the process, we'll find out what really is. Hi everyone!
Welcome to the Wonder Women. I'm Big Rock Globama.
And I'm Melissa McCarthy.
And today we have a very special guest, Piccola Tesla from Pick Me Podcast.
Welcome, I am Piccola Tesla. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. Yeah, tell us a little bit about your show, about who you are. What's going on?
My alter ego, because I am Piccola Tesla, but my alter ego, TJW, he runs a podcast called Pick Me, where we review the best podcasts. See, that's what TJW, not Piccola Tesla, TJW's show is about. He goes out and he finds the best podcasts and reviews them and brings them to his audience so they don't have to go out and sort through all the podcasts. I bring the good ones to them.
Very yeah, nice. With We're the so ultimate to motive to be picked by another podcast to be on their show, correct?
Yes, that is my gimmick. I will beg I will beg the podcasts that I review to bring me on, you know, and it's not just for myself. It's for networking. You know, I'm kind of doing it for them. Yes, I'm doing it for the people. I'm bringing the people to the podcasts.
That's right.
And
that's,
finally wore us down. So here he is.
Yes.
We determined you were not a Chad.
No, okay, not a Chad, a Piccola.
I can come.
A Piccola Tesla. I love it. So, Piccola, what is our wonder today?
Well, I don't know if your audience knows this, but I have talked to you ladies a couple times before. And when we were talking, I wondered aloud, what would it be like if the Earth was twice as big as it is now? Because, you know, we've discovered extrasolar planets, and we talk about these super Earths that are out there. So why is our planet so dinky compared to all these other super Earths? And what would it be like if we were a big boy? A big boy planet.
Why are we riding on this dinky-ass spaceship Earth when we could have a bigger one?
We could have one twice as big.
Why can't we upgrade? That's the American way. That's the American way. We should be able
to. This is a distinctly American wonder.
Yeah, we should be able to trade in our Earth for a bigger, shinier Earth.
I want the biggest Earth.
Yeah. Big one. And it needs to have 6G connection. 6G.
Make Earth great again.
Make Earth great again.
Well, let's find out.
That's
maybe by
right.
the end of this, we find out a big Earth is no great shakes. So.
Yeah.
But I have some questions before we jump into the actual thinking. So we are doubling Earth's diameter from 8,000 to 16,000.
Yes. Yeah.
Which means the surface area of Earth, which is 197 million miles squared now, would be 788 million square miles of surface area.
Do you think that that would mean the oceans are twice as deep?
Yeah, man. That's like that's like questions I have about, okay, what exactly does this mean in terms of oceans, mountain ranges? But for the record, even if Earth were 788 million square miles in surface area, that still puts it smaller as the next biggest planet, which is Neptune at 2.9 billion. So we're not outpaced. Piccolo, we're still not bigger.
I mean, you didn't dream big enough.
In our solar system. We're still small compared to, you should have gone with like five times bigger.
Yeah, but you know, I just want bigger than what we have now. And you know, I don't need to compete with Neptune. Neptune is a gas giant, and there's nobody living on Neptune. There could possibly be people living, not human people, but certainly not Americans like myself. But there are possibly other people living on some of these super Earths that we've found. And, you know, they have a bigger planet than we do. And that's just not fair. You know?
Yeah. Well, one thing we do win at is having the most dense planet in our solar system already, even without becoming bigger. So congratulations on that.
Suck it.
I'll take that. You know, That just means that we're number one in everything, right? Earth is number one. We're number one. Mega. Make Earth great again.
So one other question. I mean, there's lots, but a hypothetical example. If we're taking like a mountain range, so if Earth is four times as big in terms of like surface area, because that was easier for me to relate to, does that mean like the Rocky Mountains are four times as big also, or they're the same sort of size mountains just in like a continent?
Well, now see, this is something that I found out from the poking around that I did. I might actually have an answer to that question if you'd like for me to get into it.
You may answer.
Well, if our Earth was twice as big, there's a possibility that our mantle would also be much larger. And the mantle is what drives plate tectonics. The convection of the liquid mantle going on makes the continents drift. If our planet was larger and there was more of that, there would be much more plate tectonics. I think we're moving at a rate of, I think the North American plate moves at a rate of like an inch every 100 years or something like that. So this would greatly... This would greatly increase that. So you would have more plate tectonics. You'd have more volcanism. You'd have more earthquakes.
But when it comes to the surface area of those plates to mash up.
Right. But when it comes to creating the mountains, how we make mountains on Earth now are those plates collide and, you know, they drive up each side. And that's how mountains are made at this point. But in a planet that's twice as big as ours, the gravity would be increased to the point that those same rock structures could not support going that high. So you would also have short, squat mountains.
Oh, so you could have longer mountain ranges because the plates would be bigger.
Wider mountain ranges.
Shorter.
But just not as high. Yep.
Oh, how interesting. Wow. I really thought it'd be like the Rocky Mountains times four.
No, that's the irony.
Uninformed. Novice.
The fool.
The irony of the situation is if we have a massively bigger planet, odds are that the life and the structures on that planet would have to be a lot smaller than what we're used to compensate for the increased gravity.
Right.
Okay. So we're going to talk more about increased gravity, like increased, you know, tectonics, whatever. But really quick, before we jump fully into that with both feet, does anyone know why the Earth is the size that it is now? Does anyone know?
God.
Okay. Theory one.
God told us that this was the perfect size.
I don't know.
But I want it bigger.
Screw you, God.
I don't know why, but it's one of those like existential dread things when you hear about all of those physical things that make it perfectly perfect for life to exist right now. Like because of where the Earth is and because of the size and because of how long the day is and all these things, if they shifted a little bit, we'd all die.
And don't forget
so
the
tell
moon.
Us.
Yeah, right. Well, okay. So the only thing that I could think of is when Big Rock Globama and I, in our What If We Didn't Have a Moon episode, talked about the moon used to be part of Earth and got hit by a big asteroid, right? And that's what kind of
chunked
that
it
big
off.
Chunk off.
That's a working theory. There are a lot of people that think that the moon is a spaceship and was just parked there. But, you know, who's right? Who's right? No one knows.
That's to say, really. So it's possible. I don't know if the Earth was ever twice as big as it is now, but it was at some point bigger.
And had to have been, yeah.
Because the moon was
on the wrong end of spatial bumper cars.
Well, there's also, using the planetary creation theory, the accretion disk of the sun was thicker on the outer area than it was on the inner area. That's why you have the gas giants are the much larger planets because they were on the outer end of the accretion disk. And
what is the accretion disk?
The accretion
sounds so gross.
So when a star forms, when a star forms, and it's a collection of dust until it, you know, comes in on itself and it starts the nuclear process in its heart. But the leftover dust and everything that did not come into the star, but is left in the region, starts to spin around the star and flatten out. And they call that the accretion disk, because then all the gases and elements and dust that's in that accretion disk, they start to also clump together and start to form planets and such. And that's the working theory at this point as to how planets are made.
Whoa, so we are stardust.
We are all stardust.
If Earth had been a little bit more aggressive. Oh, go ahead.
Nope.
Well, if Earth had been more aggressive and gobbled up all the space dust sooner than Venus and Mars had, maybe we would have been bigger, but we were too timid.
There is also the theory that Earth wasn't necessarily where it is now when it was born. There are some people, and this is certainly not accepted thought, but there are some people who believe that what is the asteroid belt was a planet like that we've been discovering. We've been discovering super Earths as extrasolar planets, and the thinking is that what is the asteroid belt used to be what we would think of as a super Earth. but it got broken apart, and then half of it fell into the orbit that Earth is in now, and then the other half of it was destroyed and became the asteroid belt. But like I said, that is certainly not accepted thought. It is just a theory that is out there.
Interesting. Well, they just all grow up and move away. Yeah. That's the thing about planets. Baby
planets. So as for why the Earth is the size that it is, you know, there's working theories, but mostly it's just, well, that's how it happened.
Nobody knows. Yep. Just guessing. I also went straight to like the rare Earth theory, where it's like all these little factors and each and every one really matters for why life is in the size of Earth. This is what I read. The size of Earth is important because that affects our atmosphere. And so if we had been any bigger, our atmosphere would be denser.
Because gravity, if we doubled the size of Earth, gravity, the force of gravity would double. And that would have an impact on the size of our atmosphere, like the thickness of air, all sorts of stuff. But also, if we were bigger, we would spin slower. And so we wouldn't have a magnetic field, which we learned on the last episode we recorded, about that's our protection from the solar winds.
Oh, dang.
So our atmosphere would be stripped away.
Yeah, that was something that I was about to bring up, too, because another side effect of having a planet twice as big as it is now, what gives us our magnetic field is the spin of the nickel iron core. Mm-hmm. As it spins in liquid iron. If we had a planet twice as big, the pressures in the center might be enough to make all of that iron solid. And if all of it was solid, there would be no spin, there would be no dynamics down there creating the magnetic sphere.
Wow.
That would suck.
So you don't really think about Earth's size, but we kind of take it for granted. It really is sort of... this is right within the window of size that makes the gravity, the atmosphere.
Body positivity. You're perfect exactly how you are.
Bigger isn't always better.
You don't need to get that plastic surgery, Earth. You're fine the way you are.
Oh, man. Okay, so Earth is twice as big. We have more higher gravity because we're denser. Mm-hmm. And we have a potentially thicker atmosphere. But at the same time, we don't have a magnetic field because the Earth is rotating more slowly. Mm-hmm. So would the thicker atmosphere negate the lack of magnetic field because the thicker atmosphere helps protect more from solar radiation? Or is that just not helpful?
It's not helping Venus because Venus has that exact thing going on. It has no magnetosphere, but a very thick atmosphere. And what that has created is... 870 degree temperatures on the surface.
Oh, geez. It'd be hot. Another thing is I read that if Earth was twice as big, it would spin so much slower that one day would be 32 of our current days.
Whoa!
So it would also be we'd go through these really long periods of heating, and then also, I guess it depends on all those other factors, but potentially like really cold nights for extended periods too.
Oh man. Dang.
So that would be
stressful. Gosh, longer days.
It'd be a booming blanket mountains. Industry.
And you said Nikola Tesla also increased volcanic activity.
Yes, so that would actually also, if you think about it, lead to a thicker atmosphere a la Venus again.
Because, there's more stuff
being spewed out. Yep, because there's more stuff being pumped out the middle of the planet.
It's hellish.
Yeah.
It is. Hellscape.
Yeah. Speaking of volcanic activity that you mentioned with the plate tectonics, so I was reading as well that all of the extra volcanic activity that would happen, and there would be also a lot more gases in the Earth because we have a bigger Earth.
Mm.
So it'd lead to more heating. In addition to the other reasons why the Earth would be hot, there could also be a lot more of these volcanic gases in the atmosphere contributing to more climate change.
Oh, interesting. Uh-huh. I sort of had gone the other direction and wondered if the Earth is bigger, which means we have more time to screw it up. Because there's like that much more space and that much more like air and water. And so, okay. Well, that theory shocking quietly.
Here's something that I learned that's kind of ironic as well. We're talking about the hellscape, the hot, nasty, terrible hellscape that this big Earth might be. But in this same planet that has a nasty hellscape, if those oceans were twice as deep, then the bottom of the oceans would be nothing but solid ice. It would be the bottoms of the ocean would be like a mile thick glacier. And that wouldn't be because of temperature. It would be because of the pressure would be so great that it's forced all the molecules together to create a glacier at the bottom of the ocean.
So the ice can't float down there.
That is so creepy to think about. The oceans are twice as deep and they're icy. Like, what is down there? It'd be so hard for us to know.
Yeah. And I mean, we can't get to the bottom of our oceans to explore now because of the pressures would crush anything that we sent down there to try to figure it out. So I don't know if we'd even make it to the ice.
Yeah. Honestly.
Man, that's crazy.
Honestly, not knowing about space is like a given, but not knowing about Earth unsettles me on a much deeper level than just not knowing what's out there. It's like
we have no idea what's in the Marianas Trench.
Yeah, it's so scary. Or I read an article the other week about how climate change is affecting Earth so much that it's changing its tilt on its axis.
What?
It's just like, how can we? So terrifying.
Such big problems.
This is my only Earth. To add to the dread, another theory going along with the long days we would have. So if our days were over a month long, those temperature imbalances that we would have would basically be like when a really warm front meets a really cold front, and it would just create these really powerful wind storms that someone was like, it would just flatten the buildings and everything would die.
Oh, man.
So
this is so much deeper than I honestly thought would happen.
I was like, it would take longer to fly from New York to Europe.
And you guys were like, no, the world would end.
I was like, this would be so fun. We would have like so much more diversity because there would be many different like climate zones and all this space for things to grow and evolve. And yeah, it just sounds like a hellscape.
Oh, dang.
Also, to make things worse, if it was larger, just to make it worse, you know, if the planet was larger, it would attract more asteroids.
Oh,
yeah.
That's something that we haven't thought about. Like, for instance, I'm sure
would have needed a bigger bomb for Armageddon.
Right. In the last 5 years, I'm sure you guys have seen the stories. It's happened like 4 or 5 times that we've gotten an asteroid that has passed within, like, you know, 100,000 miles of Earth or something like that. Yeah. Well, if the Earth was twice as big, that asteroid would have just come on in.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Do you think that we'd have more than one moon because we'd have a bigger gravity field to, like, attract other satellites, natural satellites around?
I mean, I suppose it's possible. If we look at our own solar system as a reference point, the larger planets have more moons.
Yeah. And if we're getting hit by more asteroids, that's more chunks being blown off to become moons.
That's also 100%.
It's a war of attrition.
Maybe Earth did start like that, you know, and it just got hit by so much stuff that it whittled it down to what it is now. And all the other moons went away except the one that we've got.
Like, yeah, you're small now. We're not interested. Jupiter's nice. Well, Jupiter's more interesting.
They just migrated.
Another question I had related to the moon was, if we have this much stronger gravitational pull and a bigger Earth, would the moon even be there?
But it would have to be bigger to have the right resistance. Someone did the math?
Yeah, there's this. So there's this distance from Earth that something like the moon has to be outside of for it to maintain its orbit. Otherwise, if it's any closer, it'll get just like pulled in. So they said doubling Earth size wouldn't put it within that distance of the moon. But if the moon did end up getting closer, then it would be forced to like break apart and we would have one of those rings instead.
Oh,
Totally.
Yeah. So I would totally trade tides for a ring.
Maybe that would protect us from asteroids.
Maybe. Our protective defense.
Well, the hellscape of the Big Earth that we're talking about is actually... The facts that we're finding out is actually disappointing me, because at the beginning of this, I really, you know, was just thinking, you know, that's everything we've got like it is now, only make it bigger. You know, there would be more room for everybody. There would be,
welcome,
you know, if you
the
really
Wonder Women.
Yeah. Right?
Where you start out with many ideals and get rapidly disabused. Like,
I mean,
oh, shit,
honestly,
this would suck.
I was thinking about it for world peace, because, you know, if so many people hate living next to so many other people, if we were twice as big, we could just, like, you
spread
know.
Spread out more.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be like the Thanos snap, but if he had done it right instead of wrong. Like, if he had just given everyone twice as many resources. Maybe this... See, Thanos did this wonder before he snapped, and he's like, I can't just make everything twice as big, because that
would
be a hell of a
work. Yeah. I tried, you guys. This
Thanos
was actually
the
humane answer.
Right. Yeah, Thanos honestly. Did the legwork.
Yeah. So basically, part of where we're concluding is Thanos did nothing wrong. Well, that's not great.
They ended the episode by all becoming Thanos stans.
Oh, man. Okay. Wrapping up this first part, Earth is twice as big. We've got heightened volcanic activity, stronger gravity, thicker atmosphere, slower rotation, days are as long as months, which means higher winds, higher temperature fluctuations,
more
deeper
hours
oceans
at
with
the
ice
office.
At the bottom. More hours at the... You're in the office for a month. So, potentially super hot temperatures on Earth because the atmosphere and the magnetic field aren't helping us. We're going to get super blasted from the radiation. So, hellish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What would that mean for life on Earth? And I think we should do A, like, what would that physically mean? How would animal, plants, flora, etc. be different? Which we've, I think, dipped a pinky toe into so far. And then I do think it would be fun to sort of suspend disbelief and say, what if the Earth was twice as big, but not a hellscape?
No, 100%.
And explore a little bit of the idealistic wonders.
For the fun part.
For the fun. For the world peace. Let's do the world peace version and the world hell version.
Great. Okay. First, so let's take a quick break.
Break.
I used to feel so heavy and bloated. I thought it was just gravity getting me down, but then I found Big Earth Little You diet system. Their meal plan has really lightened me up.
Are you not happy with that number on the scale? You can't change gravity, but you can change you. Managing 90 nutritional meals a day can be hard to do, and let's face it, exhausting. Big Earth Little You, or Belly, is a subscription weight loss meal plan tailored to your individual needs.
A year later, and I still had extra pounds from my pregnancy. I've been on Belly for 3 days and I've lost 80 pounds. Putting Belly in my belly was the best decision I've ever made. My energy used to always crash by my 9th lunch. Now, I'm feeling so good that even after my 15th dinner, I can play with little Peter like the spry dad I always wanted to be.
You've tried diets before, but they never work. And exercise in our gravity is destroying your body. You need a new weight loss program, and that's where Belly comes in.
Belly has changed my life. The days are long. I mean, so long. Ridiculously long. Like, when will they ever end? But with Belly, I get good, healthy food without having to lift a finger. Which is good, because I can't. Lift a finger, I mean. Because of the gravity.
With Belly, we do all the meal planning for you, delivering healthy, well-balanced meals and snacks designed to meet your nutritional needs and your 380-hour schedule. Visit BigBelly.com and try Belly today.
Okay, welcome back. We did the thing. We talked about what a hellscape Earth would be. Now let's talk about how that Earthish hellscape...
How do we live in it?
All right. Okay, so first things first, I'm calling dibs on this one, gravity. stronger, which means we...
You can't just call dibs on gravity.
I did it. Gravity's mine.
That's her, gravity. You're going to have to find another force.
So,
damn it.
Gravity being strong. Well, we talked about this in the Flat Earth episode too, that we recently recorded, means that our bones would have to be denser, right? Sort of like the mountains. Mm-hmm. People and life on Earth would be shorter, squatter, and denser.
I mean, you're...
And trees. Freaking trees wouldn't grow.
Oh. Not as tall as they are, so there wouldn't be any of those big old redwoods that we see in California.
Trees would not be able to grow that tall. And I think in general, plants would need, you know, the softer plants that wiggle would need stiffer structures to be able to grow upright. Like, everything would be fighting gravity. Mm. So right. I was wondering, would plants want to grow up? Or since we have so much space, maybe they would want to just, like, stay flat and spread out on this big earth.
Well, that'd be a lot more grasses.
Yeah. Combined with, like, the stronger winds that you mentioned is because of that, like, heat-cold thing.
Yeah, that's another reason to be flat.
Being growing tall as a plant.
Like, we all just lay on the earth and try not to die.
Maybe we'd all be snakes.
Yeah, and it'd be hot, too. So the lower you are, the cooler you might be.
Hot a lot of reasons, I think, for having
large
hot snakes crawling through grass. Hot snakes. Yeah. So, well, I mean, there would absolutely have to be also an increased resilience to radiation, right? Because if the atmosphere isn't doing us any favors, and also the magnetic field protecting us from things isn't there.
True.
If we weren't resilient to solar radiation, we wouldn't survive. We'd have, and longer ass days. Yeah. So it's like you're exposed to the sun, which is a brutal sun. If it's Venus, you said Venus is like 800 some odd degrees?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what would that body look like that can resist that type of...
That body would be a puddle.
Maybe we'd be sentient puddles.
Oh, snap. Ooh. We turn into goo.
Yeah.
Wait. What was that? There was like some Nickelodeon 90s show with the woman who could turn into like a metal little puddle. And the secret world of Alex Mack.
There you go. See, okay, so Alex Mack style. We're like sentient, oozy puddles that trickle through the long grasses.
Yeah.
Or we never came to the surface. So maybe, you know, this isn't the first time we've wondered what if mermaids were a thing, because that was the trajectory for sentient life, is you actually stayed in the ocean, stayed in the water, because the surface was too bad.
Yeah.
Right, and the water might also provide you protection from the, you know, UV rays and such.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
as long as we're not hot enough that we're boiling.
Yeah.
Right.
How hot would the oceans be? Would they boil off? Would it be that hot that all the oceans would boil off?
I don't know.
Until maybe they're...
Let's say shallow. Not, because that makes it so hard to do anything.
Let's say everything is the same as it is now, except there's more.
Oh, I mean, I was wondering, like, if we're not puddles, I do think there is a good argument that we could be snakes, or I was just thinking about legs. Like, if we need to be really dense and there's so much more pressure on our bodies, and legs are usually like,
knees are a weakness,
you know, proportionally smaller thing. Yeah, with these weak joints, maybe legs wouldn't be practical anymore. So maybe we would need like one thick stump, or we'd need to slither, or we'd need to puddle.
Ooh, I'm picturing also,
or we need to be in the ocean.
Where we're armored also.
Or like, you know how iguanas have the short, squat legs, but they're really broad and they're out to the side instead of underneath?
Yeah.
Maybe something like that. So it's more supporting when you're... So we could be four-legged, but like our shoulders are taking all of the support instead of the knees. Because
it's more knees are weak across our body. So we never would have stood up.
I feel it.
Okay.
If we would have came from the water, because I like that. I like Obama's suggestion there about us not even leaving water.
Yeah.
Merpuddles.
Yeah. And also, I mean, that would help us with the gravity issue if we could still be in water.
Cut out the middleman of separate organisms, the entire ocean would be sentient. We would just be a great collective ocean consciousness.
Ah. So we'd be like the changelings in DS9. That's Star Trek. I don't know if anybody's going to get that Star Trek joke.
But, not us, but someone will.
Well, let me tell you.
Someone will get it.
When Odo the Changeling went to his home planet, he found out that all the other changelings were just this big ocean on the planet.
Oh, dang.
So, yeah.
There is sci-fi precedence for this sci-fi, wonder.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, Globom, makes I have sense. To ask, is there a Doctor Who episode that is at all relevant to this topic?
Okay, there is one that I was thinking of. It's not totally relevant, but I will tell you about it anyway. And it's one where there are doppelgangers, and they're making... So on this one planet, they've figured out how to make doppelgangers to do all of the hard work, like mining. And there's basically this, like, primordial soup where that's all the magic ingredients for them, and then when they need to make one, they sort of scoop that out. There's more to it, but that's kind of sounding like this, you know? We'd be like this soup of living stuff. Maybe every now and then we have to send somebody out to do things. I can't claim responsibility for this theory, but one thing I read online, somebody thought that when the air pressure is doubled, it would actually make it easier to fly for... you know, birds.
Oh, really? Oh.
But most things would need to land on water to cushion the impact because of the stronger gravity.
Oh.
So another reason for life to be, maybe we'd skip land and we'd just go straight from ocean to flying stuff.
The land would just be sort of a reversal where, like, the land is the unexplored. You know, you have to put a lot of effort into, like, I'm picturing, like, little puddles peel off from the greater ocean collective consciousness, and they, like, make their little journeys on the land, and then they dry out, and so we develop, like, containers of, like, ice that will hold the puddles inside, and that's, like, our little land submarine.
Well, and then, you know, the puddle kids have to get their puddle parents to sign permission slips to go on the field trip,
like coast,
flying over the land.
Yeah.
And the puddle teacher tells the puddle kids, don't ever go down to the land because we don't know really what's down there and evil stuff is down there.
Yeah.
So, you know, two of the puddle kids are going to peel off because they need to check it out. And they're probably going to die in some thick grass.
Sucked up by those. Yeah. By the, yeah,
just like
the grass
Finding
would
Nemo,
have to also,
touching the butt.
Moisture on the land would be, like, how would this affect, like, rainfall and, like, land water? Like, would things, would it be a drier, sort of more desert?
I mean,
like,
would
anything
every,
that is on land would have to...
Would every raindrop be like a bullet?
Oh,
Because it's coming down so fast?
Yeah. Okay, have you guys read... Yeah. Too bad the producer, our producer isn't here. The Way of Kings by Brandon Sanderson. So his whole... His planet is this notion that the storms are so bad on the planet that the life has evolved to be anchored to the surface and to, like, withdraw into the surface. So, like, all the grasses, like, get sucked back into the surface when they sense, like, a storm coming. So this sort of sounds similar, where the winds are so strong, the surface is just generally so inhospitable that anything that grows has to have the ability to, like, anchor itself or, like, suck itself back in to escape the worst of the heat. So Brandon Sanderson is miles ahead of us.
Oh.
That guy lives on a different level.
Sci-fi people.
We thought that we were discovering, like, new information, but in reality, we're just finding out that
we're
sci-fi writers. Yeah, we're nothing new. This is nothing new.
Yeah, we're constantly just reinventing the wheel.
But now we have sort of the science to back up the sci-fi.
Right, right.
That's right. We invented the science. we're giving them evidence.
Well, now we can just look back and see which sci-fi writers were full of it and which actually had decent ideas.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like,
That'd be fun.
That'd be a fun idea for an episode to do, like, an audit of major sci-fi based on all, like, the bullshit science we've
based
created.
Based on our expertise.
No, that'd be great. Let's see exactly how much
Star Trek gets a 10 out of 10. Doctor Who is at an 8.
That's right.
Star Trek is an 11 out of 10.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay.
I don't want to start any battles.
Do not make me live long and prosper, because I will do it.
Not on this big earth, you won't.
No, I won't. I'll just burn up and turn into a puddle.
All right. So we found Piccola's button.
We found Piccola's Pocola.
Don't press that. Yeah. Don't poke the Piccola.
The Piccola pokes back.
Oh. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, back to your digging under the earth sort of thing, retracting into the earth, whatever. I think another good reason for that is because of our long-ass days. Like, think about plants, how they would have to survive in the equivalent of 32 of our day amount of sunlight.
Or maybe they'd like, be freaking massive.
And then
they'd
have to be in the cold dark the rest of the time. Like, how would they...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they'd have to figure out a way to hibernate like large mammals do now.
Yeah.
You know, like soak up as much.
Like deciduous trees.
If plants were exposed to sunlight for like the equivalent of 32 Earth days, would they be jacked because they're photosynthesizing like nobody's business and therefore they're massive, they're like buff. Massively wide and also producing a crap ton of oxygen. So we'd have a super high oxygen count in our atmosphere.
So you're saying like the last third of the day, the grasses are pulling themselves up with these big old muscles. They're like walking around like buff broad leaves.
Yeah.
And they're just like strutting around and stuff. But once that night comes up, they're like, oh, gotta get myself back in the ground.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they'd have the energy to call them build a strong enough cellular structure to resist the gravity.
I mean, who
plant muscles,
who knows what kind of new things evolution would come up with in that kind of scenario.
We know clearly. Yeah. Speaking of plant muscles, I took a dumpling class yesterday and I learned that the way, like, the word for gluten in Chinese translates to like the flour's muscle, because it's the like strong part of wheat. And I thought that was pretty darn clever. Pretty cool. Okay. So, we imagined life in the hellscape. Are we ready to switch over to life in the world peace version? The utopia scape.
Let's do it.
Yes. Yes. That's what we came here for. That's what everything.
We came here for the rose colored glass
journey.
That's what all the talks about moons and flat earths and puddles have been about to come to this moment.
Here. Yeah. So I think you mentioned this already, Nikola Tesla, but the idea of if the surface of the earth is four times as big, the distance between continents is so much bigger. So if we do like the Christopher Columbus, his like trip I saw was like in the range of like 5,000 miles, like most of his like long trips, 5,400 miles. And he was doing like 150 miles a day. So if we like take his 5,400 mile trip times that by four, it's like 22,000 miles. And at the rate of 150 miles a day, that's a 144 day journey. And so...
There would have been a mutiny
on
that ship.
But that's only 4.5 days of large Earth.
Oh, very true. Oh, did not take that into account.
But still miserable. Yeah. Still the same amount.
So, like, can you even have, like, especially in early early exploration / colonization, can you even stock a ship for enough supplies to last for a journey that's that long? I mean, sea travel was already so hard to have enough supplies, but
I mean,
that much longer?
I guess it would depend, because like Big Rock Obama has already pointed out, that would only be 3 days. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. So you just wait and, you know, several days between meals.
Yeah.
So I guess it depends on the metabolism level of the super Earth.
Well, also if we're puddles, we just roll across.
We wouldn't even need to build a boat. We just float across the ocean.
Yeah.
Yes.
This isn't the first time we've talked about a world without colonization or globalization. So I feel like, you know, hyperlocal, a lot less sort of exchange, especially for the time period that we are. Maybe it would just take a lot longer for us to get the technological advances to be able to do that. But I feel like at this point in human history, on a bit Earth twice as big, we wouldn't have the scale of like globalization and global trade that we do now.
A lot more countries could be probably self-sufficient.
But what about countries that don't have a lot of resources and do require on importing a lot of things? And then it's like so much farther, so much more expensive.
Well, life would be, wouldn't it? I feel like it'd be just a lot less like, you know, 21st century tech driven. It'd be a lot more like, I'm on my like farmstead and I'm living off the land, whatever the land has to offer.
I think what you're trying to get, you're trying to look for some steampunk, aren't you, Melissa? Can we go back to the 1820s and have, like, I don't know, machines ran by steam? Wouldn't that be cool?
Scurvy.
But to that point about the people living in places where it would be difficult to get resources, I just don't think that they would be living there in an Earth where there's four times the space.
I mean, do you think we would have evolved to have higher fertility? I mean, I guess we used to have more children anyway, but higher fertility rates just because there was more sort of like stuff to exploit and like fill the space. Well, like,
as much space as you have, you will fill it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because I was going back and forth, like, would we not be at the precipice of a global climate disaster the way we are now? Because we haven't yet put so much plastic in the oceans that it's a problem. We're only like halfway full of the plastic limit of the oceans.
And if there was four times as much ocean and half as much plastic, come on.
Yeah, we've got another like 1,000 years to go before it's a real problem.
So basically what we're getting at is a super Earth would just delay the inevitable.
I mean, there would also be, you know, probably more animals and everything, too.
Right.
So maybe it would just be exactly the same as now, ratio-wise. It'd be, like, a lot of people, a lot of things, a lot of space.
With less travel.
We run out of it eventually.
How long a flight would be?
With less travel.
Right? Like, I'm not going to get on a 20-hour flight just to get to Europe. Ugh, not worth it.
Yeah, and a plane has to hold a lot of fuel to do that, too.
But at the same point, if those challenges were there when that technology was being developed, planes might have started flying faster on some kind of cheaper resource in the first place.
What's that, like, that Pan Am flight? The, like, the 2-hour flight between New York and London? What was that?
I can't think of the name.
Oh, I know. The Concorde.
Yes, the Concorde.
Yes.
I'm
stuck
smart.
With that.
All right.
Yeah.
Well-known fact.
There might be more maglev travel. You know, because maglev wouldn't require any kind of, like, gasoline or anything. You just have to build the rail and then make electricity.
That's the thing. Like, if you are covering four times as much ground, the cost for infrastructure would be astronomical. Like, it was hard enough to build the railroad from, like, East Coast to West Coast in the U.S., and, like, a bunch of people died, and we used a lot of labor from China and other, and, like, native labor, and it sucked, and it was awful, and we, like, almost didn't make it. But if you had to do that four times as long, like, would it even be worth it? I just really wonder, like, would it have been worth it to invest in this type of infrastructure?
Yeah. And there also wouldn't be skyscrapers either.
Oh, yeah.
Not very many multi-storied buildings.
Yeah.
So a lot of changes, despite the world peace.
Right. Well, I feel like it's world peace by virtue of the environment is much more of a controlling factor. Not because, like, we've something better.
And it also, exactly, it'd be world peace for now until, like, 1,000 years later when we did fill in all the gaps.
Exactly. Yeah. World peace for now.
I like that.
There's another slogan.
So either way.
The Wonder Women.
World peace for now.
Either way, whether it's an immediate hellscape or whether it just takes longer to get to the current hellscape that is Earth. You still fucked.
Yep. So I guess what we've learned here is trading your planet in for a bigger planet doesn't really fix your problems. It just magnifies them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice. And on that note, I feel like, are we wrapping up? Does that wrap up our wonders? Are we winding down?
Yeah, I think we can wrap this up.
Okay. Well, good job, Big Rock Globama. Good job, Piccola Tesla.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and thank you for letting me join you guys today.
Yeah. Okay. Before we do that, a quick disclaimer. this is not real science.
Nope.
This is a bunch of long leaps of assumptions informed by kernels of real science and real research, so... You know, take this with a grain of salt. And the best part about our wonder is we can never be proven wrong.
Don't. Well, anyway, Big Rock Globama and Melissa McCarthy, thank you very much for bringing me on. I had a lot of fun. This was great.
Super yeah. fun. Oh, why don't you do a quick plug yeah. for your show?
Oh, yeah.
Before we
if you
out.
Do want to listen to the sultry tones of my alter ego, TJW, as he reviews other podcasts, you can follow him on Facebook and Twitter by typing in at PickMePod, all one word. And you can also check out our Facebook group if you'd like to talk about podcasts with other followers.
Yeah. Don't bother looking at the internet. Just listen to this podcast and you'll know all the best podcasts. Yep. Yeah. Okay, wrap us up, Big Rock Obama.
All right, some final words for us. Before we part, we are here on Earth to fart around, and don't let anyone tell you different. The great writer, or Kurt Vonnegut.
Kurt V.
Thanks to our producer, Kurt Orbain, and to Brittany Spheres for providing this week's music.
And thank you for joining us
today.
That's all for now.
Bye.
See you next time.
Bye. Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew.
You always got to do the three, and then, you know.
Pew, 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 pew.
I just mansplained nice. Air horns.
Join us next time on The Wonder Women, where we'll explore wonders like...
What if toothpicks had feelings? What if we only ever ate pickles? And what if it was physically impossible to pick your nose?
Until next time, keep wondering.